This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Mike Kennedy, radio voice of Wichita State University sports, sportscaster. Is that okay?
That's fine, yeah.
Welcome to Issues 2018, Mike. You know, athletics is a big part of what happens at many universities across the country. It's also a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, and a good part of many universities' image is related to sports. I had the pleasure of working with Mike on our KNSS morning show for several years, and we had a pretty good time, didn't we?
It was very much fun, yes.
Do you miss getting up early morning?
I still do, actually. I still get up, and that's when I do a lot of my work is first thing. I just got in the habit, and I find it's a good time to get things done before everybody's up and phones ringing and all that sort of thing.
And so, they say that's the way it is with older folks.
Yeah. The one thing that was different, for me than, I don't know if you're how you are, but I never, ever got into that routine where I just woke up at that time of the morning. If it weren't for an alarm clock, I would never get up.
You couldn't get yourself up.
Right.
Well, that's one of the...
So, yeah. But I don't have any problem. I get up and I get moving pretty quickly once the alarm goes off.
Once the alarm goes. Tell us about how you got started in radio and with Wichita State sports. Tell us about that.
Well, I always, when I was a kid, I played sports and I loved sports and I followed everything. But... I realized in high school I wasn't going to be a professional athlete or even probably a college athlete, and I loved music. I loved singing, and so I was a vocal music major at Wichita State, and my singing career was kind of like my athletic career. I was pretty good, but I wasn't going to be a pro in that either. I was going to be a teacher, and I have the utmost respect for teachers, but I just realized that was not what I was headed for. It's not what I wanted to do. And one of my instructors in the School of Music was the father of one of my high school classmates, and I'd known him for several years. Yeah. I was in his office one day just chatting, and it came up. I said, I don't think I want to teach. And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, you know, I've always had it in my mind, I'd like to be a sports broadcaster. And he said, well, the only way you're ever going to find out is to go try it, which, of course, is the simplest advice, but I just needed somebody to say that to me. And I went over to the campus station, KMUW, took a couple of classes, started doing stuff on air, and just, you know, I was hooked from the first moment. And so I went ahead and graduated with my degree in music. I was only a couple of semesters away, but started looking for jobs in broadcasting as soon as I got out, and found one in Chanute, and that's where it started. I worked in Chanute and then Pittsburgh, and it just happened I was looking for the next place, and especially wanting to get into professional baseball, and ended up back here. The Wichita Aeros were looking for a play-by-play broadcaster. So I did that for about a year and a half, and Cake came to me and heard me, and they were taking over the Wichita State contract from KFH because Wichita State was looking for more television games. And so I went to work for them doing morning radio, did radio play-by-play on the 6 or 8 games a year that were on television. Bill Land was their sports director, and he was the main guy. and weekend TV. And then after 4 years of that, the stations got sold, and the new owners of the radio stations came to me and said, we would like you to be our full-time play-by-play broadcaster. And so that was, this is year 39 now since that all started.
39 since the first job or 39 since
39
Wichita?
Since I started doing Wichita's. 39th year as the quote-unquote voice of the Shockers.
And then what was the year that you started at Chanute then?
1971.
71. Okay. I'm just getting the numbers straight in my mind. And then when you were talking, it's just so much, it kind of parallels some of us who have gotten into this business. I had much of the same thing when I was a kid and realized that, you know, I didn't have that arm to throw that ball across the diamond. But did you dream about radio? Did you think about radio when you were a kid? Or was it mostly, did you listen to radio? I'll bet you did.
I tell people this, and I don't think it's unrelated. The year, the Christmas that I got my first basketball and first basketball goal, I had just turned 9 years old, I also got a crystal set radio. And for those that don't remember those, it was, it had some copper wires, and there was a cardboard kind of dial position thing and a tuner. You had a little dial that you could tune.
Pretty cheap, comparing simple.
And it got the local stations. But it didn't have speakers. You had to listen to it with headphones.
Okay.
You had these hard plastic headphones. What was great about that was I could go to bed at my bedtime and put those headphones on and listen to college basketball games at night. And my parents knew, I'm sure, but allowed it. And so there was always, for me, kind of a correlation between sports and the radio.
Yeah.
It was just always there for me. And so that, yeah, I think it was always in the back of my mind. I literally would play games by myself in my backyard and do play-by-play out loud while I was playing.
I'll tell you what, the similarities. I would almost bet a dollar that you and I were both listening to the radio the night that Wichita State beat Cincinnati out at the Fieldhouse.
I was jumping around, throwing pillows across the
my
room.
My dad even got excited.
Yeah.
Wow, that was exciting. It's interesting because the way we start out and the places we go. Now, what sports are you actually covering now, Mike?
I do volleyball, women's volleyball in the fall, and then men's basketball and baseball. And when there's overlap, and there is a little bit at the end of volleyball and at the start of baseball, then basketball takes priority, and we have other people that'll do those games that I can't. But I do, on the average, about 110 games a year for Wichita State.
Just as a quick sidebar, because I think I've shared this story with you. When I was at KWBB, I'd started my career. The Arrows had just started on the radio. I got to watch Jack Munley. You remember Jack Munley?
Yeah, sure.
I got to watch him do a, what do you call that?
A recreation?
A recreation game.
Yeah.
And that's where you sit in a studio. The game was in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And he had a ticker, and he had sound effects and everything. You ever see that?
I've actually done a little bit of that. Not a full game, but I can't remember what year it was now, but remember the year that baseball had a strike in about two-thirds of the way into the season, and it canceled the World Series. And I was doing a talk show here with a young man named Bill Riley, and we decided we took our hour talk show between 6 and 7 one week, and we did a World Series. We took the Montreal Expos and the Yankees, who were leading, had the best records at the time of the strike, and had this table game that we could, approximate, and then we did an hour game, recreated. I also met a man. There was a guy named Marv Bates who did Evansville when I was in the American Association doing the Wichita Arrows, and Marv recreated road games. And I never actually saw him do one, but I met him when we'd go there, and he did the home games live. I got to meet him and talk to him, and Joe Garagiola had him on his pregame show one time on NBC showing how he did it and so forth.
Wow.
That's a lost art for sure.
I think I know the answer to this one. You and I have spent so many mornings together. What's your favorite sport, Mike?
I've always said if I had to just pick one, it would be baseball. That's what I got into it for in the first place, and it's still, to me, I love it because I'm a stat guy. It has so many stats, and it's the most challenging from the standpoint of every game moves at a different pace because it depends on the pitcher and how fast he works, and you have different amounts of time between pitches. But I also have to qualify it and say for a one-time event, there's nothing more exciting than a great college basketball game.
Yeah.
And
The challenge there for you, listening to you guys doing the show, the broadcast, is getting the numbers in there that we need and squeezing them in there. You and Dave Dahl squeezing them in there, and it's an art. The two guys do it at something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I've always told people when young people ask me about, you know, learning to be a broadcaster and preparing, I tell them it's a skill like anything else. You develop it over time. You develop the knack and the feel for doing certain things. And that all comes into play.
Is it a generational thing that I'm the same way about numbers and stats, especially in baseball and on especially network television? You got none of that anymore, and I think that just takes away from the game.
Yeah, I think there. You know, we've been in this business long enough. We see trends and fads and things, and and this is not a criticism on any individual locally or anything else, but if you watch local, you know, the local sports on TV, there's a certain style that's in existence now, nicknames, clever phrases, those kinds of things. It's the same way on a lot of network TV broadcasts, yeah, where there it's more personality and less facts and stats and things. Well, honestly, I think the hardcore fan wants the other stuff. I get a little too much personal. I was listening to a guy named Adam Amin do the Dodger playoff game the other day, and I've met him. He's done some Wichita State games. Really sharp young guy, and really does his homework and really prepares. And he and Jim Bowden, a former big league general manager, were doing the game, and I loved listening to them. I mean, they really gave you a lot of cool stats and notes. And you listen to John Shambi and Singleton, and it's a lot of personality and kidding around, and you listen. You really listen. You're not getting a whole lot of what kind of pitch was that and all that sort of thing.
The thing is, if you're a personality, people, you know, there are people in national politics right now, 50-50, either they like him or they hate him, and with very few exceptions. You know, a guy who, like a Bob Uecker can turn it on and just make everybody laugh.
But you still, but he still gives you all the nuts and bolts. Something I've always tried to be careful about. I'm not as spontaneously funny as some guys, and I know that. And so once in a while something will come up, but I know it's kind of a funny or clever thing to say, and I'll do it. And sometimes it's playing off the guy you're working with. But not too much of that. And I still believe people listen to hear the game and hear what's going on in the game. Do that first, and the rest should mix in later.
A question often asked, who do you think has been or is the Shockers' greatest basketball player? Which does say?
It's Dave Stallworth, and honestly, I honestly think, and it's unfortunate because it was predicated, I think, on his pro career. Dave had some heart problems after he got to the New York Knicks, and he was a contributing player on a championship team, but he was never an NBA star, and I think it diminished how he's remembered as a college player, because I contend to this day, as a college player, he was right there with Oscar Robertson or any other greats of his time. I think he was one of the, you know, 10, whatever, maybe greatest college players of all time.
What a thrill it was when we were kids to watch that guy.
And I think that he was kind of ahead of his time in that he was 6'7", but could handle the ball like a guard. He could shoot outside. He'd be a three-point shooter today.
Pass.
Could score, score on the basket. Extremely unselfish. A guy that averaged well over 20 points a game throughout his career that was a great passer, as you said, and not a guy that took a whole lot of shots.
What do you think we're going to look for this season? Put you on the spot here.
Well, it's going to be fun, I think, and interesting because it's a really, really young team. There are only like four guys on the whole team that have played in a Division I game, and a couple of them not very much. But it's going to be one of the most athletic teams that he's ever had, maybe the most athletic. I think that it's interesting, there's sort of a collective sense with this group of coming together early. They were in contact on social media through the summer after they'd signed their letters of intent, kind of already getting together and some talk, you know, some chip on their shoulder. People aren't respecting us. They don't think we're going to be very good. I think it's the kind of group that he's going to enjoy coaching, but it's just so inexperienced. There are going to be some growing pains, but I think it's going to be fun to watch them grow and develop over the season.
You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations. Our guest is Mike Kennedy, radio voice of Wichita State University Sports. And we're kind of going inside here a little bit. We'll talk about some other issues in a minute. But tell us about Shocker Volleyball. And what did you have to do? Did you develop a new language, or did you just remember what happened in junior high?
No. It was totally – and just so people – are aware, in 2004, Wichita State made the NCAA tournament for the first time in volleyball. And Chris Lamb is just a tremendous coach, one of the best I've ever been around, and really has done an incredible job with this program. Well, that year they went to Lincoln to play in the NCAA tournament, and Jim Schaus, who was the athletic director at the time, came to the stations here and said, would you be willing to broadcast our matches from up there? And they agreed, and Ted, your cohort, went to do them because
Ted
he's
Woodward,
done some
yeah.
play-by-play and had done a lot of volleyball public address at the home matches, and so he had some knowledge of the sport. So he went up and did those, and I guess people really responded well to it, of hearing it. And, of course, we haven't had football for a long time, so there wasn't a Wichita State fall sport on the air. And the next year, 2005, it's about a week, week and a half before the season was going to start, I get a call from Jim Schaus saying, we've decided we're going to do all the volleyball matches. Would you be interested in doing them? Well, first I asked my wife, because that's another full season. It's 30 games a year,
you know,
and more travel and all that.
Yeah.
And I think you'll be amused by what she said. She said, okay, with one rule. I said, what? She said, you're the last one on the bus and the first one off. I'm not going to have that parade of cute little butts and spandex shorts walking by you all the time.
Yeah.
So then the issue was, I had watched Shocker volleyball. I'd been to matches. I had a pretty good understanding of the rules, at least most of the basic rules, but no understanding, not having ever played the game other than in the backyard or whatever, of strategy and all those kinds of things. And I knew I'd be able to appreciate a hustle play or really athletic play or something like that. But in terms of knowing if somebody was in the right place or any of that, I had no idea. So I started going to practice every day, and Chris Lamb, the coaching staff, were just tremendous at helping me out. And then you mentioned terminology is important too, because it is the fastest moving sport that I've ever done. We went to started the season at a tournament in Houston on the way down. Chris, who said he had listened to me do, Shocker sports, baseball and basketball closely, said, now you're not going to be able to describe every touch and every pass like you do in basketball. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, we'll see, And it took me about 30 seconds to figure out that was
yeah.
true. So just learning how much you can get in intelligibly. And then I heard some other, I had a chance to hear a couple of other guys that had done college volleyball for a while and some terminology that, like the term pipe set, volleyball people means a ball set in the middle of the back row. Well, pipe set's a lot quicker to say than set to the middle of the back row. Learning some of those things helped me pick it up, and it's just been a learning process over time, but I absolutely love it.
Local sports fans often, well, not often, but occasionally speculate on the return of Shocker football. Any predictions, Mike?
I think, first of all, I think Dr. John Bardo really, really wanted to see football come back at Wichita State. He was willing, I think, to buck all the obstacles if it was conceivable at all. And I think this last time, when they were scouting for a new conference affiliation, they also did as extensive a look into whether football was feasible or not as you could possibly do, and consulted people who'd had success starting up other programs. And I think that they just came to the conclusion that it just isn't very feasible. It doesn't really make sense in mm-hmm. Wichita State. And they were able to get into a really, really good conference without having to have football. And so I think that really has kind of made it a dead issue. And the longer it goes, the more expensive it gets, the harder it is to sustain a football program. Even the schools in the biggest conferences, it's amazing how many of them actually lose money on football.
And,
but
and
the
and
money
how,
money they get from conference divvying up bowl appearances and stuff like that keeps it going.
How often have you heard of a major university getting into football?
Well,
it just doesn't happen.
There was a story on 60 Minutes 3 or 4 years ago, and it just stunned me how few schools actually make – I mean, big names, maybe a Michigan State or somebody like that, don't actually make money on football.
Wow. Wichita's going to have a new stadium and a new AAA baseball team. What's that going to mean to the community, Mike? What do you think?
Well, I hope that they're excited about it and support it. I think the potential is there. This has always been a good baseball town. But it hasn't always been a good minor league baseball town, and I worked for the Arrows at one time, and I've kind of experienced it from the inside. It's something that you have to get people in the habit of doing. Baseball, I mean, you're talking about 140 games or whatever, and so you've got to get people sort of in the habit of going, like from the beginning in April, and getting it to be a regular thing that they do. And if you can establish that, and there are a lot of things that go into it. A new ballpark certainly will help. That's going to feel good. Promotions and things like that will be important. And then having a successful team is going to play into that. And people getting excited about watching, you know, young future stars on the way up and so forth. But it's not an easy thing. And you know, I just hope that they can make it work. Certainly, I'm all in favor of it, but it's not like a slam dunk that it's going to be a success.
Does athletics build character, Mike?
Honestly, I think done the right way, it does. I think it certainly can. And I will say, traveling with Wichita State teams, Greg Marshall, Chris Lamb, especially maintain really high standards of how their student athletes behave. And I can't tell you how many times, like with the basketball team, that we've been in hotels or restaurants or on a plane, and somebody will come up to you because they know you're an adult associated with them and say, this is just the nicest group of young men that we've ever had. Right. They're so respectful. Mm-hmm. And so I think again, I think it all plays into how you run your program, what the expectations are. With them, it's all about team. It's all about, you know, the kinds of things that make you a good individual and help build character if you follow those things.
Who were the people who influenced you in your career? Any mentors? Favorite announcers?
Certainly those. I had an opportunity when I was working in Southeast Kansas in Chanute and Pittsburgh. I was in the right part of the state to pick up some of the big signal stations from bigger cities. And so I got to hear, sometimes a little scratchy, but I heard Ernie Harwell doing the Tigers. And of course, and here in the area, Jack Buck with the Cardinals was as good as there's ever been.
Yeah.
I never got to hear Vin Scully other than like on the World Series or something until much later in life. But guys like that, I always kind of gravitated to the Jack Bucks and the people that were, you know, like what we talked about, that give you what's going on and enhance it with interesting stats and things. And so those were influences. As far as maybe how you go about your business, working for Cake TV for a while and Martin Umansky, I've told people this. Now, he was scary. he wasn't the easiest guy to work for, but he maintained such a high standard of excellence. You fell into having to. If I have time, I'll give you a quick example. I did a story one time on TV. Newman University, and Dave Skinner was coaching there, had beaten Marymount and Salina in the district championship. Marymount had been in the national tournament forever, and so they're going to the national tournament. And I go over and I do an interview with Dave, and then came back to do the story. And I looked in some file footage we had and found some what you call B-roll in TV to play over the interview. And I watched about 10 seconds of it. Yep, that's what it is. So I put it in the script. Well, I get on the air, and it goes to that B-roll, and all of a sudden it breaks up. And so I went down afterward to find out what happened. And when it had initially been laid down, there was a bad place on the tape. And so they had moved forward and laid it down again. And it didn't show that there were two entries on there. So, okay, so I'm going out the door to go home for dinner, and there's Martin waiting for me. Said, what happened there? And I explained it, and he said, how long would it have taken you? Maybe another 30 seconds to watch the whole thing and make sure it was okay? And he was absolutely right. And, mm-hmm. and you know, those are the kinds of things you learn not to take shortcuts, and I think that was very beneficial.
And preparation.
Absolutely.
And not only what you do and what I do and what in any job, guys, preparation.
Sure. I always say that's the difference between being mediocre or not very good and being very good. And you can just tell. You listen to national guys and you can tell who does their homework, who prepares and who doesn't, and who tries to slide by on personality. And for me, it's fun. It's never been hard to do the preparation because I love digging around for the little interesting facts and things. And so that's really one of the fun parts of my job.
Almost out of time. How long do you intend to keep doing this?
kind of as long as I can. I say kind of because my wife's a little younger than I am. She's going to keep working, and as long as she does, I will for sure. I think that At some point, we may want to both retire and go do other things, but I don't know what that would be right now. And so I hope I have a good sense of myself, and that if I'm starting to slip and I can't do it anymore, I hope that I'll be aware enough to get
you
out.
You know, there's right, business. Somebody will let you know.
Yeah, but right now, I still love it and still enjoy it.
Hey, listen, this is fun. We had a good time, and like we always did on the radio. And thanks for being with us, Mike.
Always a pleasure.
Our guest, Mike Kennedy, radio voice of Wichita State University Sports for, 39 years now. That's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.